If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so where to even start? That's the big... I got a guy having a tantrum over a leaf blower, so let's start here. So this has to do with two Florida men who got into a big giant fight because apparently someone used his leaf blower and blew leaves on someone else's car, which is rude. I mean, I don't think he did it on purpose, but and it was all caught on camera. Things went sideways really quickly. A man stomped on a worker's leaf blower because leaves kept getting on his vehicle. And the guy was very, very aggressive, and I was watching it. I don't think the guy was doing it on purpose. It was in Delray Beach, and it was in the parking lot, and the guy was cussing, and he, like, grabbed it and started stomping on the thing, and oh, my gosh, so now he's in trouble. You have to understand that if you're parking your car outside and it's next to trees or grass or anything, and you have landscapers that are dealing with the grounds, that your car could have stuff blown on it because they're there to deal with the grounds. That's all there is to it. It's not those guys' fault. And in the video, it didn't look like the guy was, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like he was trying to do it on purpose. Maybe I'm wrong, but it didn't look like that. A Florida man shot a kidnapper for trying to abduct his wife. Yeah, he did. That's a real man. Bradenton, Florida. A Bradenton, Florida man fended off a kidnapper who tried to kidnap his wife on New Year's Day. It was in Manatee County. Nicholas Palomo, a 36-year-old felon, had previously gone to prison for kidnapping and a bunch of other violent crimes, tried to abduct a woman who was walking her dog. She tried to escape by running from his car, made it to her home, warned her husband, and the husband went outside. The guy, and apparently Palomo hadn't left. He was still trying to get her. So the guy went outside. He saw the guy still trying to threaten the wife. So the husband shot him once in the driveway. That was it. Sheriff's office said it was in a matter of minutes, entirely self-defense. And just prior to him stalking this woman and trying to take her, he had caused a ruckus at a Circle K up the road. So they were apparently doing a toxicology to see if he was under the influence of narcotics as well.
If I hear of someone whose fashion that I like and I know that they're a person of color, I try to make it a point. But the clothes have to be available. Right. You know, I think we can all do some work to think about that balance in our wardrobes, you know. What does our closet look like and who's in it? Mm-hmm. Who are we supporting in it?
Right.
You know, and I think if you have the money to buy Chanel, mm-hmm. then you have the money to buy everybody.
Right.
And so let us be mindful. I think would be my advice.
Just like you bought a oceanfront property in Hawaii and oceanfront property in Martha's Vineyard. Yeah. And a big old mansion in Chicago. I'll buy whatever the hell I want. And you're going to sit down and you're going to take it because I don't give a damn. It's not up to you to tell people how to spend their money. Does she ever stop being just bitchy? Does she ever stop? I have never seen a single clip of anything this woman has done where she's just having fun. And she's just enjoying life. She's got to come out and grievance and bitch and moan about everything. And I just don't understand how someone who had such a silver spoon entitled life is so mad and hates everyone and wants everybody to be as miserable as they did. I would love to have the kind of upbringing that Michelle Obama had. I'm the poor girl, not her. You all are, not her. Her and her rich, entitled husband. Both of them Nepo babies growing up in very well-to-do families, bank presidents and university professors and driving parents driving new cars and being able to go to whatever college they wanted to, never having to worry about anything. People bending over and lifting them up from the very beginning of their professional existence, launching their political campaigns in their living rooms in Chicago, raising the money, buying them a big old man so they can hold that status in Chicago, doing all this stuff. I'm so damn tired of it. I don't feel bad for you. You were never in any way aggrieved more than anybody else, ever. It is a yarn that you spin to try to make yourself seem more special and to maintain control. These people try to gatekeep grievance. I'm so tired of it. And she's a racist. Michelle Obama is just an old, bitchy racist. I'm done with it. Don't buy from white-owned brands. That's what a racist would say. How about you just buy whatever you want to buy because you like it? Doesn't matter if it's black or white or whatever. That's not something that I do. First off, I don't have the type of cushy existence that she does, where I eat bonbons all day and I sit on my ass and I don't work. I don't have the type of free time where I'm like, let me look into the life of this designer and find out their whole backstory before I commit to a purchase. If I like it, I just buy it. It's very easy. Pretty amazing, right? If I like it, I just buy it. I don't care about what their backstory is. That they either make things that are nice or they don't. That's it. But can you imagine? Yeah, if you had anybody... any Republican first lady. Oh, well, I try to avoid black-owned brands and others should also. Can you imagine if they had said that? Can you imagine? Good heavens. I mean, it would have been never ending. You would have had a nonstop news cycle about it. But that's racist, what she's saying. It's divisive. It's racist. Who is she trying to convince that she just has it so hard? I mean, I think they have issues in their marriage. You never see them together. You don't see him anymore. It just seems like he tries to stay away with her. Her and her lookalike brother do these podcasts. Oh, I don't care if it's mean. I'm tired of being lectured by this old entitled woman who had such a great life and had such a cushy entitled life that she wants to look down on everyone else because you don't share her skin color or you don't share her retconned history. It's like Pam Grier. What is with these women that try to make it to where they have such a hard coming up? They try to rewrite history and act like, oh, we had such a hard, you had no idea. Michelle Obama does not know struggle. She does not know poverty. Not in the way some of us do. I don't want to hear it. And I'm not going to feel bad and be told that I have to shut up because of my skin color. Racists. Not going to have it. Good heavens. How about, you know what would be great if she went out there and just said, you know, just buy whatever you want to buy. It doesn't matter. Support who you want to support. Support whatever brand you want to support. That's it. That's it. That's all I got to do. That would be a lot more unifying and a lot, but it doesn't get clicks. I don't know. I guess there's a portion of the population out there that loves this grievance peddling. Like, I can't get into it. It just annoys me to no end. I just can't. Then she says this, cut 30. She would never consider running for president because she is not likable. She doesn't have the credentials and she's not likable. So I don't even know why we're entertaining this stupid idea. Listen to this. This is 30.
You said, don't even look at me about running because you all are lying. You're not ready for a woman. You're not.
There are men out there that were not going to vote for a woman. Let's just be real about it and let's put that on the table and talk about, well, what's that about? Let's not be mad because I made the statement. The young women that we're talking to, keep climbing. We need you and know that you may come up short, but keep going.
What does this even mean? Nobody cares. All I heard was a bunch of word salad that was miles wide and inches deep. Shallowness that's like cosplaying as some sort of analysis or some sort of intellectual deep dive? No. What is this? First off, you're just not likable. That's why they would never vote for you. Like Hillary Clinton wasn't likable. Like Kamala Harris wasn't likable. There are women out there who are likable. Margaret Thatcher was likable. There's other women in the United States that are like Sarah Huckabee Sanders is likable. They're likable people. They come across, they're amiable. They're friendly. they're not constantly trying to put you down by acting like they've had it so much harder than you, even though they actually haven't. They don't say racist things like you should avoid brands based on skin color. They don't say stuff like that. That's why people don't want to vote for you. Nobody, and you're just not qualified to do it. Sorry, but you know, working as an attorney and being a Nepo baby, that's not enough of a qualification. Can we just move past the Nepo baby age? That would be great. We have it's a problem that's pervasive in every aspect of society, including politics and especially right-leaning politics. It's so bad. Can we just get past it? I get so tired of this. It's so tired. So I don't know. I wish that there is a subsection of the American population that just is grievance mongering. I feel like, though, it's kind of dissipating. Our partners who help bring you the program, our friends over at Webroot, they want to make sure that you're protected because there's so many ways, just to be frank, swindle you out of everything you got. I'm not kidding. I mean, I could probably do it if I was really mean and wanted to. This is why you need to protect not just your devices, not just your laptop or your phone or your iPad, but you also need to protect your identity. And you want to take all of the guessing games out of cybersecurity. It is not complicated. There's two ways to do it. You have two packages from our friends at Webroot, right? You have Webroot Essentials, which is one way to approach it, lightning fast antivirus, password manager, web threat shields. But then you also have Webroot Total Protection, which is an all-in-one everything protection. So this is like the full armory, right? You can protect your entire digital life, including identity protection. They even watch out for that, particularly on the dark web. VPN, cloud backup, the whole nine yards. Because let me tell you, by the time fraud happens, it's already negatively impacted you, and it is almost impossible to rectify it. So you would rather be proactive and make sure that you have Webroot Total Protection. And they make it easy because it's 60% off right now, but just for a limited time. It is the number one antivirus on the market. And when you compare it to like the Nortons and the McAfees, Webroot scans six times faster. It takes up 33 times less space. It's not some clunky thing that's going to slow you down because they realize it's 2026, not 2006. You need lightning fast, lightweight, antivirus protection, and that's what Webroot delivers. It runs in the back of my, I don't even know it's on. I forget it. That's how I want to live my life. Protect yourself and your family from cybercrime with Webroot. 60% off, only right now for a limited time though, at webroot.com/Dana. Live a safer digital life with Webroot.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, K-pop Demon Hunters is Netflix's most watched movie so far, and it's not even close. Before you freak out, it is literally one of the most conservative things you're ever going to watch. And for people who are like, yeah, but yes, there is a ton of religious overtones because a lot of the people that are involved with it are like have Christian background. But if they're like, oh, well, they don't say Jesus specifically. Remember, neither did Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying, take it for what it is. It actually is. I actually watched it. It was great. I'm not into the music, but you know, the animation was good, and the dialogue was very good, and you can feel okay about your kids watching it. I can tell you that. It's literally good versus evil. But can you believe that that's like the most watched thing? Because they get a lot of filth on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that they've like just launched this year, but it's, so that was really nice. Christmas 2025 was the biggest streaming day ever in the United States, says Nielsen. Interesting. Is it because of all the, you know, it's probably because I watched Die Hard five times.
There was a lot of hype around Stranger Things being released on Christmas,
too. I didn't watch it yet.
I haven't either.
But I like the Millie Bobby Brown girl because she seems nice and kind of trad. Like in a real trad way, not a fake Instagram click way. But NFL and Stranger Things, that's what they were attributing that to. And their revenue and profits have risen. I don't think that, like, what if I'm streaming something, Netflix is never where I go. Unless it's the Great British Baking Show. Or the aliens thing. Not gonna lie. But I watch Amazon Prime. That's what I do. I watch like a lot of the old stuff on Amazon Prime. So, let's see. Piers Morgan gets a hip replacement. I don't care. Threads overtakes. Tots and Pears. Threads overtakes X and daily mobile users. Threads overtakes X? Threads? Wait, whoa. That's the Instagram thing that I always scroll past and purposely ignore, right?
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Why does that take a, why is that taken over X? That's kind of weird, right? Are you okay, Kane? Kane's dying. Kane's got the plague. Kane is the plague. He's going to get us all the plague. We have more on the way, including Islamism and Nepo babies. Stick with us. Our partners will bring you the program. It's our friends over at Relief Factor. Relief Factor wants to make your life pain-free. I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter really what age bracket you fall in. It really has to do with how well you've taken care of your body, your inflammatory markers. You know, are you getting enough exercise? Are you getting enough rest? And a lot of people, you know, especially if they work out a lot, or, you know, maybe you're like my husband and you played a ton of sports when you were in your teens and 20s, and now you have, like, you know, you're dealing with hockey knees. You want to make sure that you can control pain and also help with mobility. And this is where Relief Factor comes in. Relief Factor supports your body's natural inflammatory response that causes the aches and the soreness and stiffness and discomfort from exercise and daily activities. They have a 3-week quick start that could be your first step in alleviating this by targeting inflammation that keeps you from enjoying the things that you love. It's 100% drug-free formula made with research-backed ingredients, including omega-3s and resveratrol, all designed to support relief from everyday exercise related, anything related discomfort. Try the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Visit relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF and see if you could be the next person to get your pain under control with Relief Factor. That's relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF. Tell them Dana sent you. The Ketanji Brown Jackson. I don't even know where to start with this because I thought this was a joke. The last several bits of audio that we played, legitimately, when I have seen them pop up and I see like a brief synopsis of her remarks, I immediately don't trust, even if it's a trustworthy source, what I'm reading, because it's so ridiculous. And this is, again, par for the course. So you have Wilford v. Lopez, and it's a Second Amendment case that is being argued right now. And there's been a lot said about it. This has been going on for, you know, earlier this week. And in one of these instances, you had a discussion as to what does permissible firearm regulation look like, and who's free to carry, who is free to not carry, things like that. And you had these people inadvertently, starting with Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, literally saying that, well, she's defending black codes as a precedent for consideration as to constitutionality. Just listen.
Justice Jackson?
So I guess I really don't understand your response to Justice Gorsuch on the black codes. I mean, I thought the black codes were being offered here under the Bruin test to determine the constitutionality of this regulation. And it's because we have a test that asks us to look at the history and tradition. The fact that the black codes were at some later point determined themselves to be unconstitutional doesn't seem to me to be relevant to the assessment that Bruin is asking us to make. So can you say more about that?
Absolutely. Black codes were unconstitutional from the moment of their inception because they are pretextual laws that are designed to ensure that newly freed slaves are returned to a condition of sharecropping.
Okay, let me stop you there. They were not deemed unconstitutional at the time that they were enacted. They were part of the history and tradition of the country. And when we have a test now that's asking us to look at what people were doing back then, I don't understand why they should be excluded.
Because they are outliers. They are by definition unconstitutional. They have
found later, afterwards, not at the time. And if the test says what's happening at the time tells us what's constitutional for this purpose, why aren't they in?
Respectfully, a law is always unconstitutional. When it's from its inception,
So the history doesn't matter. We shouldn't care about the history then.
We should deeply care about the history.
So if you're scratching your head thinking, what in the world is she talking about? She's essentially saying that because an unconstitutional law was incorporated or in existence on the books at one particular point in time, that it can now credibly be used from here on out as a legal precedent. Well, it was always unconstitutional, first and foremost. It's the constitutionality of something that determines precedent, not the existence of whether not the mere existence, it's the constitutionality of it. She's, you know, she's so smart, we're told. We're told she's so smart. I was amazed at that. And then this is the principal deputy solicitor. This is Sarah Harris. And she, well, her reaction, as you can imagine, would be yours. Listen, this is 35, sorry.
There's been some discussion about the black codes, and maybe they should be relevant, and maybe we really should consider them as significant here. In fact, they're a dead ringer. Thoughts?
It is 2026, and it is somewhat astonishing that black codes, which are unconstitutional, are being offered as evidence of what our tradition of constitutionally permissible firearm regulation looks like.
So it's Wolfer v. Lopez. This is a case because it's going to, and it settles around Hawaii, and it's determining whether or not they can eliminate the Bruin standard, meaning does it comport with the founders' establishment of our longstanding Second Amendment firearm traditions. That's the Bruin test, which it's going to go down. I mean, it's going to be wrecked. Court case for Hawaii. Hawaii's going to lose this. They're going to lose this. It is going to be a wreck for them. To hear them try to argue this, and Hawaii's trying to do like an end run around all of this by saying, well, you have to be able to, you can't take your firearm basically anywhere. You know, basically it's all public spaces. You can't take your firearm, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where the whole vampire rule came from. So the vampire rule, that was what Hawaii had to tried to implement as a way to end run around Bruin, saying, well, you any kind of entity can prevent any sort of legally armed patron, and you have to ask questions before, you have to ask permission before taking your firearm anywhere. And it's called the vampire rule because vampire folklore, in order to go in someplace, you have to get permission. So it's like an end run around that, and it applies to every space, everything. Like, it doesn't matter if it's public or private, whatever. And they're trying to do an end run around this, and they were arguing that somehow that goes along with the long, that they could, even though it violates the longstanding tradition that Bruin has already established. So that's that. That is the Wolfer v. Lopez case. It was amazing to hear Ketanji Brown Jackson say, well, you know, even though it might be unconstitutional, it existed, so it can still be used as precedent. I just can't even believe that she actually, I mean, I can, but it's still amazing to hear someone who masquerades as being an educated person try to argue that, well, because black codes existed and they were at one point historical, that that's the legal precedent from here on out going forward. Oh my gosh. By the way, you realize, and I wrote my first book on this, Hands Off My Gun, that one of the reasons why the Dred Scott case went the way it did with that racist Judge Taney, who is a big-time far-left Democrat, is because he was using Scott's inability to own a firearm as a free person as the final mark against his quote-unquote personhood. And that was actually used as a litmus test to establish personhood was firearm ownership, which, as you know, Democrats were, they really advocated against any minorities being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights, freed or not. So it's very interesting to hear someone on the bench argue that. Stunning.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.